Lori Woodland, or Coach Woodland, was born and raised in Winnemucca, Nevada, where she graduated from Lowry High School in 1970. After graduation, she entered school at the University of Nevada, Reno, where she earned her bachelor's degree in 1975. While at UNR, Lori played basketball for the Lady Wolfpack for 4 years in volleyball and softball as a freshman. She returned to Winnemucca after her graduation to coach basketball and teach physical education at her alma mater. In 5 seasons as Lowry's head coach, Lori's team posted a 65-15 overall record and won 2 state championships. She was voted Nevada AA Coach of the Year twice. In 1980, Lori received her master's degree from BYU. From there, she went on to perform sports information duties at the College of Eastern Utah in Price. Coach Woodland and her husband, Richard, live in Rexburg. In 1992, Lori helped start the activities program, which we now enjoy here at the university. she would ask each player if she had a testimony at the, of the church. The last couple of years, she started teaching academics and exercise science and just retired this fall of 2007, oh, 2 years ago. She published a book. Was that Beloved? What was the book she published? Beloved Emma was the book she published. So it's our joy. This is a talk she's given here. She gave 2 years ago about here in the university. So we'd invite each of you to listen and to write down notes and feelings and to think of your own experiences here with the activities program at BYU Idaho.
Brothers and sisters, it's good to be with you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt Harris, and I'm from Alberta, Canada. I'm a sophomore here at BYU Idaho. I returned home from the Florida Orlando Haitian Creole speaking mission about 1.5 years ago, and I'm currently serving as the men's head basketball coordinator here in the activities program. I was asked to give some thoughts on the activities program, and more in particular, the talk that was given by Sister Woodland that we're going to hear in a few minutes. It was given about 2 years ago about her experience in the transition from the intercollegiate athletics into the activities program that we now have here on campus. Sister Woodland was the women's basketball coach in the year 2000 here at Ricks College. When the announcement was made that Ricks College would be changed into a 4-year institution now called BYU Idaho, it was also announced that intercollegiate athletics would be phased out and that a broad-based activities program would come here on campus so that the students could benefit. This put Sister Woodland out of a job. As the announcement was made by President Hinckley, she sat there and realized that all of the coaches and people that she associated with in the athletic department were now out of a job. I want you to imagine that for a second, what that experience would be like, to just realize just in an instant, you know, that you were out of a job, that you weren't even brought in for an interview, you weren't even told, you know, that there isn't like, you know, a pink slip or anything like that. That's just how it worked. Sister Woodland could have easily been frustrated or angry about it, but because of her testimony of the gospel and of the direction and the leadership of the living prophet at the time, President Gordon B. Hinckley, she knew that the changes that were about to be made were inspired. She knew that when the prophet spoke, the debate was over. Sister Woodland did struggle with the change for a little while, mainly because she was now out of a job and was not sure which direction she should take in her life. After the announcement was made of the transition from Ricks College to BYU Idaho, Sister Woodland returned home to think things over. She said that she knelt down to pray and to talk to Heavenly Father about the things which had taken place. She was seeking for understanding of seeing the end from the beginning, or in other words, the big picture. She prayed to gain more understanding of President Hinckley's vision for this institution. As she tried to gain more and more understanding of the changes that were taking place in the days to come, and in the days following the announcement, opportunities were opened up for her, which allowed for her to have more personal application of this principle. She was selected by President Bednar to be on the committee which was to form the activities program and was given the opportunity to see firsthand how this program is truly inspired of the Lord. Now, looking back at this brief story of Sister Woodland, how did she try and gain her testimony of the activities program? She had the faith to understand. She sought the confirmation by praying to Heavenly Father, and she acted by participating in the creation of the activities program. But how can we apply this to ourselves? How can we know for ourselves that this program is truly inspired of the Lord? The first thing we need to do is to have faith to try. In Alma chapter 32, verse 27, He gives us a great explanation of how we can exercise our faith. It reads, "But behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until you believe in a manner that you can give place for a portion of my words." We just need the desire to want to know. As we begin to search and desire, the Spirit of the Lord will work within us, and the Lord will enlarge our desires to know and to act in faith. As we continue to do so, we will begin to see the fruit of our labors. In verses 41 and 42 of that same chapter, Alma 32, it says, "But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up into everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure, and ye shall feast upon this fruit even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst." I want to focus on one thing mentioned in those verses. The last part of verse 41 said, "Behold, it shall be a tree springing up into everlasting life." Now, I know that some of you are probably thinking, well, how does that apply to the activities program? For those of you who are returned missionaries out there, the answer comes from a section of scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants, which I'm sure that all of us needed to memorize when we were in the missionary training center. In Doctrine and Covenants section 4, verse 4, it reads, "For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store that he perisheth not, but bringeth salvation to his soul." As we serve in the activities program, we are, in a sense, doing missionary work. We are trying to help teach the gospel to those who participate along with us. There is work for us to do, and the blessings are there as well, for all those who will step forward, grab his harvester, and reap. The blessing is clearly stated, bring his salvation to his soul. You can read all of section 4 of the Doctrine and Covenants and see so many applications to the gospel and to the activities program in that verse if you'll apply yourself and study it out. I've done that for myself, and I've seen how much it can affect me in the way that I do my work in the activities program and the way that I try to serve you as participants. As we serve our fellow beings, we are truly only in the service of our God, as it says in Messiah chapter 2, verse 17. We can show our love to our Heavenly Father by serving his children in this program. I had the wonderful opportunity of taking Sister Woodland's Doctrine and Covenants class back in the summer of 2005, before my mission. One of the requirements for the class was a service project in the activities program, which we all had to complete in order to get a passing grade. She didn't care what we did in the activities program. She just wanted us to get involved and to experience the same vision and blessings that she had experienced throughout the creation of the program. For my project, I decided to become more involved in the basketball program. I had helped out before with some announcing and different things and whatnot, but I didn't feel that I was fully involved in the program like I should be. So I signed up to be a coach. My team and I had a lot of fun that semester, even though we only won 2 games. We had been a part of something special. We all grew spiritually, socially, emotionally, and physically from our experiences together. I came back to Sister Woodland and shared my testimony with her of the experience which I had had serving in the activities program. She said, "I would hope that you would continue to be involved in the activities program because you don't know how many lives you can touch. We can affect our salvation and the salvation of others through this program by the things that we do. Brothers and sisters, we are here to build one another. And we're here to learn together, to grow together, and to teach one another. That is the purpose of this program. We're here to improve each other and to become better disciples of Christ." Elder Richard G. Scott has said, "You teach by what you are." As we participate in the activities program, may we remember who we are, who we represent, and who we are trying to become like. I want to bear you my testimony of this program and how involvement in this program has helped me. I know that this program is inspired of the Lord. I know that without a doubt. I've seen it in my work in the basketball league as I've gone from head coach to assistant coordinator to now being able to serve in the position of the head coordinator. I've seen how the Lord's hand affects this program. When decisions need to be made, when people need to be found to help out, the Lord helps us to find those people, to make those decisions, and to lead the program in a steady upward course. I am where I am today in the activities program because of Sister Woodland's requirement in her Doctrine and Covenants class. And I'm so grateful that she made it a requirement that we participate in the activities program, because that has changed my life. It's changed the outlook of my life and how I serve others and what I do. I know that this program truly is inspired because of the men that we have that help run the program, the advisors that we have. For example, Brother Shippen was the women's basketball coach at BYU, and he was asked to come up here and to serve in the activities program, and he came. He didn't have to come, but he came so that he could be here and serve with us, to serve us and to help us to grow, because he could feel the power of this inspired program. I know that as we have faith and as we serve our fellow beings, as we serve each other, that we will be able to feel that same power, feel of that same inspired guidance that was given when this program was created. I know that the Savior lives and that he loves us, and that our Heavenly Father loves us so much to have given us his gospel on this earth again, and that we can have a living prophet who can lead us and guide us and help our university leaders create this inspired program, give them the direction to do so. And I know this program blesses our lives so very much, and I'm so grateful for it. And I'll never, ever forget the experiences that I've had in this program. And I would hope that each of you can apply yourselves and look at it and see the blessings that you can gain as a result of this program. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In verse 2 of chapter 1 says, "And about the time that Amron hid up the records unto the Lord, he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age." So Mormon was 10 years old when this took place. "And I began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And Amron said unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child and art quick to observe." Now, brothers and sisters, Elder Bednar gave a talk at BYU, Provo, probably a little over a year ago, and it was entitled, "Quick to Observe." And he talked a little bit about what it meant to be quick to observe. And he said, really, there's two meanings to this, being quick to observe. First of all, quick to see. And second of all, quick to obey. Quick to obey what the Lord would have us do. I was thinking about what I wanted to say this morning. I thought I could say nothing better, or do nothing better for you this morning than to bear my testimony. To bear my testimony of this program, and I'd like to center it around this theme, being quick to observe. It was in the year 2000, about this time of the year, and I received a phone call about 8 o'clock at night. And it was a secretary from the athletic department at Ricks College. And she said, "Lori, there's going to be a meeting in the Hart Building, Hart Auditorium, at 8:30 tomorrow morning. We're all supposed to be there." And I said, "Okay." And so I hung up the phone, and in a half an hour, another secretary called, this one from the physical education department. She said, "Lori, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the Hart Building, and everyone's supposed to be there." And I said, "Okay." I hung up the phone and I told my husband, Rich, I said, this is going to be a pretty important meeting, two secretaries calling me at home in the evening like this. Well, I kind of had a sense of dread, brothers and sisters, for some reason, and a sense of fear, not knowing what this meeting might be about. But my husband and I talked about it, and we thought, you know, maybe Ricks College will become a four-year school. But that just seemed inconceivable, because we'd been told for years that Ricks College would never become a four-year institution. Hey, we had had so many people tell us that it would never happen. Well, that next morning, I got up early and I went for a run, and I was running down the road, and I remember seeing a van coming up the road towards me, and it was Brother Devin Shom in his van, and he was going to the meeting. He was coming in quite early, but he was going to attend the meeting. And he kind of had a funny look on his face, too. And I think everyone was kind of wondering, what is this about? Well, I went home after my run and then readied myself for work and came in for the meeting. We're sitting in the Hart Auditorium. I was in the red seats. And they had the satellite screen set up. And about 8:30, the screen came on, and President Hinckley was on the screen. And he said, we'd like to make an announcement relative to Rick's College in Rexburg, Idaho. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said it's a threefold announcement. Number one, Rick's College will no longer be a two-year junior college, but a four-year university. Well, there was a cheer that went up in the Hart Auditorium that, you know, was everybody was excited. I mean, this is cool. We're going to be a four-year university. Then the next part of the announcement, the school will no longer be known as Rick's College, but will be known as Brigham Young University, Idaho. Not a lot of cheering, okay? I mean, everybody's going like, hey, come on, what are you doing? We've been Rick's College for over 100 years. And then the third part of the announcement. And Rick's College will no longer have an intercollegiate athletic program, but they will have a broad-based activities program. Well, brothers and sisters, at that time, I was the women's basketball coach at Rick's College. And I thought, these were my first thoughts. He didn't really say that. I must have misunderstood him. And so I sat there thinking, what did he say? Did he really say that? Well, he finished with his announcement, the prophet finished, and then Elder Eyring came on the screen to take questions and answers from the press. And the first question asked, brothers and sisters, was, you mean Rick's College will no longer have football? And Elder Eyring, being a prophet, seer, and revelator, he didn't understand the program really either, because he said, no, Rick's College will not have football. And I thought, he did say that. We're not going to have sports anymore. We're not going to have an intercollegiate program anymore. Well, brothers and sisters, I just lost my job in 7 seconds, okay, just sitting there on those red seats. Well, it was devastating, if you really want to know. I was devastated. And I sat there for a while, and everything finished, and people were walking out, and people were excited, and all these kinds of things. And finally, I got up, and I went to walk out of the Hart Auditorium, and President Garth Hall, who was our athletic director, was sitting up in the bleachers, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, we'll talk later. So I went into his office, and not all the coaches, but most of the coaches were in his office, I think kind of waiting for him to come in, and it was a very lively discussion, if you can imagine. And I sat down in the secretary's chair, and I was kind of listening for a moment, and something told me, and brothers and sisters, I am so grateful that at that moment I was quick to observe. Something told me right then, Lori, get up and get out. And I got up from that chair and I left the athletic director's office. And I walked down the sidewalk to my car and I started to cry because I didn't understand what was going on. And so I drove home, I walked into our home, and I went into the bedroom and I knelt down by the bed. And I said, Heavenly Father, I do not understand this. It's just not, it's incomprehensible to me what's going on here. But I know that Lehi had a dream, and Nephi, his son, wanted to have an interpretation of that dream. And because he prayed for it, he received that. I know President Hinckley has had a vision or a dream, and I pray to understand it, to have my own interpretation of that dream or vision. Well, I got up from my knees, and I was just kind of wandering around the house wondering what to do next, and the neighbors called. It was the groom family, and they said, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. They said, why don't you come over? So I went over to their house, and we were talking about this announcement and what was going to happen and what was going on. And we talked for about a half an hour, and I then set their children down in front of me, and their children were upset, especially their two oldest girls, because they had been our ball girls, and they had been involved in our basketball program. And I told them, I said, I don't understand this, but I want you to know that when the prophet speaks, the debate is over. We talked a little while longer, and then that afternoon at 5 o'clock, they had a press conference right in this room. And I was sitting right over there, about where you're sitting right now. And President Bednar was here, and he was taking questions and answers from the press. And a lot of press had come up from Salt Lake in that area, wondering what was going on as well. He's taking questions and answers, and people were attacking him. How could you do this? You know, this has been a long-standing tradition in this institution, and how could this be happening? And I mean, they were firing questions at him like you couldn't believe, and they were kind of mean. And I, Russell, right where you were, I wanted to stand up and say, would you guys knock it off? But I didn't have enough guts, so I just sat there. I didn't open my mouth. Well, then President Bednar fielded some more questions, and I asked a few. And then after that meeting, I walked up to Elder Bednar, and I said, President Bednar, I don't understand this. But in our home, when the prophet speaks, the debate is over. I want you to know I will support you in this thing. And he looked at me, and he said, Lori, I always knew you would. Well, now, brothers and sisters, I had given him my word, and it wasn't easy to keep. It was difficult. It was difficult to try and understand. But I kept praying to know what was going to take place. Well, a few days after that, Garth Hall called me and asked me to be a part of the committee that would establish this new activities program. And I think we hear throughout the last 5 years, well, this is Elder Irene's program, or this is Elder Bednar's program. Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not true. This program is the Lord's program, because I was on the committee. I went to the meeting where we were given our charge as a committee, and we visited with Elder Bednar for about 20 minutes. And he didn't tell us anything about the activities program, except to develop it. That was it. And we would ask questions like, well, is it supposed to be a sports program? You're getting ahead of yourself, he'd say. You know, you need some guiding principles. You need to establish a foundation before you decide what it's going to look like. And we'd ask another question. No, you're getting ahead of yourselves here. Don't get ahead of yourselves. And he just bring us back to establishing this foundation of the program. That was the charge we were given. That was it. Well, the first meeting we had, we're all looking at each other because we don't even know what to talk about. We have no idea what it's supposed to look like. About a week later, I went to another meeting, and I walked in. Today, I was mad. That day, I was mad. Okay, it was one of those bad days where, you know, we're not going to have athletics anymore. How can this be? And I walked in. I remember saying, and for you that know me, you can hear me saying this, but I just said, this better be good because I'm mad today. And by the time I left that meeting, brothers and sisters, I knew that this was an inspired program that the Lord wanted on this campus. Well, we worked for almost 2 years to put this activities program together, to develop guiding principles and all those things that to you today are just, they're just normal things that you talk about each and every day. And then it started. We started hiring people. That process was amazing. People would come in, we'd interview them, and then the person would come in, and we knew we wanted that person. Not that we wanted them, but the Lord wanted them. I remember one time we were talking about Brother Doherty. See, Brother Doherty had applied for the basketball position, and it just didn't seem to fit for him. We didn't know what to do. And finally, hey, it was volleyball. He was going to be hired as the volleyball coordinator. And it felt good. But we also knew that didn't really make sense either, because he's a football quarterback, you know, an All-American football quarterback, you know, but he's supposed to be our volleyball coordinator for some reason. I remember walking out of a meeting one time, and somebody said in the meeting, it was a hiring meeting, and I think I was going to Nevada for a weekend. We were over in this building. I was just walking out the door, and somebody said, well, who are we going to hire for the baseball coordinator, Lori? And I turned around and I said, Phil Crane, and walked out the door. That was it. The Lord's hand was in this from the beginning. We were sitting in another hiring committee meeting, and we're talking about the basketball coordinator position and who we're going to hire for that position. And we talked about everybody, including Brother Doherty. And Garth Hall said, well, Lori, there's one more person. And I said, who's that? And he said, Trent Shippen. And I started to cry. And I said, he'd be great. But now our problem was, how are we going to get him out of BYU Provo to come up here? He was the women's basketball coach at BYU. I called him that night. And we talked on the telephone for, I don't know, Trent, half an hour or so. And I knew he was going to come. And he did. And what a blessing. So brothers and sisters, the Lord's hand was in this program from the very onset. I remember, though, knowing that and being in Albertsons one day. One of my peers, well, he'd been my boss for several years, and I just loved and respected this man. He's an older man. We were talking about the announcement, no athletics and all these kinds of things, and I was trying to share with him. I was basically bearing my testimony about the program. And as I checked out my groceries, he was in the check stand just that side of me, and he looked at me, and he goes, "I'll give you guys 5 years." Well, brothers and sisters, we're entering your sixth year. This year will complete 5 years, and it's bigger and better than we ever imagined because it's the Lord's program. What a great thing. Now, I want to tell you about the first meeting we had. It was scheduled for the Man-Wearing Center. It was at 1:45. I believe it was on a Thursday, and all of us were there, Brother Shippen and Brother Crane and Brother Doherty. We were all there, and we were all nervous because nobody showed up. There was nobody there, and it was supposed to start at 2, and it was 1:45. And pretty soon, Garth Hall and President Bednar came in, and I think they were kind of worried, too. You know, it's like learning by faith thing. We had walked to the edge of the light, and now we were in the darkness. And we were hoping and praying, brothers and sisters, that the light would follow, that you'd show up. By 2:00, there were over 500 of you in that room. It was marvelous. Another testimony builder that this was the Lord's program. Well, throughout these last 5 years, people have asked me, how did you bring the gospel into your basketball program? I guess that was something I was kind of noted for. So now I kind of want to change tones just a little bit and talk about that. How do you bring the gospel into your programs? Well, brothers and sisters, I've been reading, well, I finished it now, but a biography of Elder Maxwell. And I learned something from that biography. You don't bring the gospel into basketball. You bring basketball into the gospel, okay? The gospel is our core foundation, and everything we do in this life, we bring into the gospel. Elder Scott was here just this Monday, and he talked to us, and he said this, "You teach by what you are." Brothers and sisters, it's really hard. You see, I don't like canned spirituality. Well, we're going to do this today, and we're going to bring the Spirit here. See, I like spontaneous spirituality. And so you teach by what you are. You got to live the gospel before you can bring basketball into the gospel or volleyball or golf or whatever you're playing.
And that was kind of an abrupt stop to that talk, but she goes on and accounts the stories of her experience at Rick's and then more of the transition phase from a two-year junior college to a four-year university and the activities program that came about because of it. At this time, we're going to proceed by being privileged to hear from a few of you in the audience. A few we've asked, but then we'd like to open it up for a few minutes to anyone who's had experiences with this program, who'd like to voice their experiences and share a brief testimony of the program and what it's done in their life. And it'll be as follows. First, we'd like to hear from John Fowler, who's been our hockey coordinator this semester, followed by Kimmy Nelson, who's been one of our basketball coordinators, and then Ben Ray, our wrestling coordinator. And then after that, we'll open it up to the whole. We'll have microphones going around, so if you'd like, raise your hand and stand up. And this is a little bit different format than we've had in the past. But from what we've heard today, and I hope each and every one of you have had the mental and the spiritual clarity to really understand and absorb the words from Sister Woodland, because this truly is an inspired program. Now, I don't know many of you. Like it says on the program, my name is Eric Brostrom, and I've been privileged to serve you all as the sports area director this semester for the university. And I can tell you that through my experiences with this program, I've come to learn that the Lord's hand is truly involved in every aspect of our lives. It's grown, molded, and shaped my life in such a way that as I go out into the world, I know it'll benefit me in this life and in the life to come. The skills that have been fostered and the growth that's been facilitated here in this institution of higher learning, and not just that secular knowledge, but also those leadership skills and the many prophecies which have been given through and about through our prophets today about this activities program. Now, I don't know if many of you have had the opportunity to listen to some of the foundational talks, is I guess what they call them, of this university, of that of from Elder Bednar, President Eyring, A Steady Upward Course. These talks are very powerful, and there's been true prophecy given today about us in this program. And I would charge each and every one of you to learn and to invoke the blessings of the Lord in your life as you not only participate, but then as you look more to the leadership aspect of this program and truly understand and realize what it has to offer, what the Lord's given you at this university to gain. These skills, I can testify, will benefit you in your classes and then as you go out into the workforce. The activities program is truly a great thing and a great blessing to each and every one of us, and should be used to then benefit and bless the lives of others as we leave this campus. So now we'll proceed. I'd just like to quickly bear my testimony that I know the Savior lives. I felt His love for each and every one of you as I've prayerfully considered the course that this program needed to take this semester. And I know that we as directors have been inspired, your coaches and coordinators have been inspired. And I would hope that each and every one of you had prayed every night that you would gain something from this program. This church is true, and I'm thankful for it and grateful to be serving each and every one of you in this. I leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon. My name is John Fowler, and I was the ice hockey coordinator this year. I'm from Alberta, Canada, and this year was a very special year. It's my third year in the program, and the testimony that I got this year from this program was that the Lord knows each of us individually, and that He cares about us individually, and He cares about what we're doing. We had an experience where the ice rink melted, and we had not yet had our tournament, and it looked as though there was no way the ice was going to refreeze. The season was over, and a miracle happened, and the ice refroze, and we were able to have our tournament. And it was because of the Lord, and it was because of the participants in the league and their faith and their obedience and their prayers. And I know that this is an inspired program, and that lives are blessed, and people come to know the Savior through this program. My first year in the program, I learned more spiritually. I grew more as an individual through the program than through my religion class. And that's obviously not to say anything bad about the religion program. Like, I grew there as well, but I grew more in this program individually, and I came to know the Savior better through this program. I know that the atonement is real. I know that the Savior loves us and that we are important to Him and that He loves each of you. I know that President Monson is a prophet of God. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God. I know that he saw God the Father in Jesus Christ, and that he translated the Book of Mormon by the power of God. I know that this church is true. I know that the priesthood is real. I know that the covenants that we make in temples will help us return to live with our Father in heaven. I'm so thankful for this university and this program and the opportunity in this program to apply the gospel in all aspects of our lives. I learned personally how to apply the gospel in all aspects of my life through this program. And I learned that the gospel is not just something that we do on Sunday. It's not just something that we do while we're at church or while we're at church meetings, but it's something that as we live the gospel, that it changes who we are. And as it changes who we are, it changes how we play the sport of hockey. It changes how we interact with our family. It changes how we live our life. And I know that the gospel is true. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I say that in His name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Oh my. Okay, I think that'll work. That'll probably make me less nervous because you guys can't see me and it's only the top half. But anyway, so I have some thoughts that I wanted to share, and at the end I was going to bear my testimony about this program. I just want you to know I do get nervous when I speak in front of people, and like I know I mumble and sometimes I stutter and it sounds really funny. So if you guys laugh, it'll just make me feel better. So feel free to laugh at me if you want, but thanks. But I also want to start off by saying that I am very confident in what I'm going to share with you guys today. And I'm very confident in the testimony that I have of my Savior Jesus Christ and of this activities program. I am a senior, and so pretty much the only participation I've had in this program has been a basketball player until this last semester, and that's coordinating, and I mean that was a pretty big jump. I didn't even really apply to be a coordinator. I just went into Brother Shippen's office and said, like, hey, you know, this is my last semester, I think that I want to help out, so if you guys need any help, just let me know. And then I found out that there was an open coordinator position, so it all just kind of fell in my lap. But as it was, you know, coming at me so fast, I could tell that this was a really great opportunity for me to learn and grow more about, or to learn and grow about this program and from this program. So just talking about the purpose of this program, I wrote down three of the principles that I've learned and that I've seen that are a major part of this program. And the first one is creating opportunities. Opportunities to build friendships and to build relationships. Opportunities to create and develop skills that we have, or different talents, as coaches, as players, as officials. I mean, the activities programs, you know, has immense amount of opportunities for all of us to be a part of. And then the second principle I thought of is it's a chance for us to build and strengthen our testimonies. Not just our individual testimonies, but there are so many teaching opportunities that we can be a part of to help one another, our teammates and our coaches and the other participants, so that they can build their testimonies, which is a really exciting experience, like Matt was talking about being a missionary. I know that that can be one of the most exciting times for missionaries, is when they get to touch the lives of others and help build a testimony within them. The third one I talked about, or that I thought about, was encouraging participants to exemplify the qualities of a disciple of Christ. And that, I mean, that comes through your testimony, and to learn more about the atonement and to be a true disciple and leader as our Savior would want us to be. I was lucky enough to be a part of a high school program that, you know, touched and really taught each of these principles. My high school was extremely competitive, and winning was everything, but I also had a very Christian coach, and he taught us a lot about these principles and how important it is to, you know, have a relationship with our Savior, which I know sounds weird coming from a high school coach, but, I mean, he really is a great example to me, and he was a great leader. I have a lot of teammates that went off and played college ball at University of Washington and Syracuse, Stanford, and even Brother Shippen coached some of my teammates down in BYU. And sorry, I promised I was not planning on doing this. Anyway, that opportunity came to me also. But I know that that I had some eye-opening experiences that told me that I needed to focus on being spiritual, and that there is more to life than sports, and that I needed to grow in those areas. And so I applied to come here, which I was not expecting to do at all. But the first part of my testimony that I wanted to bear is that each of these principles that we teach in this activities program are eternal principles. And that's more that you can learn on a baseball diamond or on the basketball court. I love basketball, and I think that there are so many principles from the gospel that apply to sports, but they are gospel principles. I think one of the greatest things that I've gained from this program is the relationships that I have built. And I know that that is an eternal promise and blessing too. And so I'm grateful for the participants, for the coaches and the officials, which I know sounds funny, but I know that there's so much that we can learn and gain from one another from us participating in this program, and that there is so much sacrifice and service that comes into it from our area directors, from Brother Shippen, from coaches and coordinators. It's because of you guys that there is this program. And so, I mean, it's good to appreciate everyone that's there, both your teammates and the team that you're playing against. Everyone is a part of this program. And that's just how our Savior loves us. He loves everyone, and he knows each and every one of us. And so I'd just like to end with bearing my testimony that I love the gospel with all my heart. And I know that our Savior knows each and every one of us. And I'm grateful for the atonement and for his example. I apologize for crying, but anyway, I know that we want to leave time for you guys to bear your testimonies too, but thank you for being here. And I'd just like to end with saying that I really do have a testimony of this gospel, and that I know that we can learn its principles through this program. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hey, hold on, we're not done, buddy. Hold on, we're catching you in the back. I'm just kidding. So Kimmy stole my short joke analogy because she was short, and so that usually doesn't happen. But thanks, Kimmy, for that. So, well, I'll be real quick because I know that some of you guys probably want to go and stuff like that, and it's getting time to leave. But my name is Ben Ray. I'm the wrestling coordinator, and this semester has been really, really a great semester for me, and I've learned quite a bit of things. But instead of kind of focusing on what the program's about, because Kimmy and John have done a good job of that, I kind of want to share my experience of how I ended up from being out in the audience falling asleep in this meeting to now standing up here in this meeting. So just last semester, I played baseball. I played competitive baseball, and it was a really good experience. And that's kind of when I caught the glimpse of what the program is about. And you hear people always say, well, I have a testimony of the program. And so what I learned from this program is, you know, it's a way that we can learn leadership. It's a way that we can learn to develop ourselves as individuals to have a positive effect on people. And so I was playing baseball, and my coach did a really good job at helping us understand the gospel in this activities program, and understanding that when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter if we win or lose as much as it is, as long as we grow as a person and as an individual. And I kind of grabbed onto that. I don't know if it was because I wasn't a very good baseball player and I was just saying, oh, it doesn't matter if I win or lose, or what it was. But I kind of grabbed on that and held on to it. And by that, I began to understand that the purpose of this, you know, activities program is to help us change who we are as a person. And so as soon as I felt that, I kind of felt my attitude change and felt the person that I was and focus on the people around me and try to help them understand that, you know, it doesn't really matter what happens that day at practice. It doesn't really matter what happens if you win the game. I mean, sure, it feels great, but the person that I had become was making me happy, and I wanted other people to feel that as well. And so as soon as I felt that, and I found out there was an opportunity I could do that with wrestling, and, you know, it was kind of my passion, I jumped on that as fast as I could. And so it was really neat, and I was really excited, and I was trying my best to teach the coaches all about, you know, the things that I had learned. And the other day, I don't know if you guys know John Pluitt. He's one of the wrestling coaches. He's a really good friend of mine. I was talking to him, and he went to one of these meetings with me, one of these coordinated meetings with Rochelle and some of the people that have talked to you already. And we talked a lot about what we're trying to do and what we're trying to teach people. And it was amazing to see the change in this person and the change in John. And it was really cool because he came, and at first he was kind of just sitting there. And we started getting people involved and talked about how we could, you know, help every individual feel like they're a part of the team, help them feel like, you know, they're a person, that Heavenly Father loves them. And by the time that meeting was done, his attitude had changed. And he came up to me and you know, this, I don't know if it's a guy thing, we're not as emotional as girls, you know, he didn't come up and give me a hug and start crying in my shoulder or anything. But he just came over to me and said, thank you very much for inviting me to this meeting. It helps me understand, you know, a part of this program and helped me understand why I'm a part of this. And from that moment, if you look at John Pluid now and you ask him why he is coaching, why is he trying to help other people understand that, I guarantee that he'll come up, you know, with a different answer, and that he understands that program and just to see his change. And I would just like to stand here and bear my testimony to you that I do know that this program is inspired, and that I do have a testimony, and I'm so grateful for this. And I have a testimony of this gospel, and I'm grateful for all you that, you know, take the time out of your lives to come and come to these meetings and be a part of the program. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.